BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody out there in BeastNet land, Hammer here. And on today's episode of BeastNet, we're talking with Ashley Snitzer.
So what first got you started into OCR? I love to start out with this question.
That is probably the question I actually get asked.
You probably got a really good rehearsed story.
Something like that. What really got me into it was I was pregnant with my son, and I had gained a ton of weight. I had a very rough pregnancy. I developed a rare disease while I was pregnant. And so I was sedentary, and I wasn't able to work out and really exercise. And so by the time I gave birth, I was close to 250 pounds, which I'm barely 5'3", so that's a lot of weight on someone my size. And so after I gave birth to my son, you know, I set a goal to lose this weight, and I wanted something to motivate me, something to work towards. So while I was sitting around recovering from my C-section, I was watching documentaries, and I saw this documentary about Spartan and obstacle course racing, and I was like, these people are nuts, you know, why did they put themselves through this? And so after watching it, I'm like, you know, I want to see what this is all about. I want to experience this firsthand and know, like, why so many people love this. Like, why does this have a cult following? And so I signed up for my first race. I used that as my motivation to lose the weight. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to do this race no matter what. I'm going to get there. And so I lost the weight in time, and I went to do my first race. And after that, I was just hooked. I was obsessed. I'm like, okay, so I see why people like this. Like, I could put myself through this over and over again. It sucks, but it's a good suck. So that was how it got started.
So what was your first race? I gather it was a Spartan, since you had talked about you were researching that and then you went into that.
Yeah, it was a Spartan. I did a sprint, and it was in Chino, California, about almost 2 years ago. And it'll be 2 years in March since I did my first race.
Awesome. I'm sure that was a very fast 2 years.
It went by super quick, but at the same time, when, you know, people ask me about racing and, you know, how long I've been doing this, it feels like forever at the same time, because I'm just like, wow, it's only been, you know, barely 2 years. I feel like this is something I've, you know, been passionate about, like, my whole life.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, when I think about my, I can't really say it's been a race career, but I mean, when I think about how long it's been since I did my first OCR, which was back in, I think, late 2015 or early 2016, and it was me, my now brother-in-law, and I think she was my girlfriend at the time. I don't even think we were engaged yet. And we did a, man, what was it? I think it was like a Warrior Dash or a Rugged Maniac, one of those two. And I absolutely loved it. And when I think back, it's only been maybe two or three years. And it feels like I've been doing this for, you know, 5-6 years. I mean, so I totally, totally get it.
Yeah, it's a very addicting sport, for sure. There's so many aspects to it that just draw you in and keep you coming back. Just the race itself, of course, the community, being able to connect with so many other individuals and hear their background stories, and it brings people from all walks of life together. And I've never found another sport that really does that like OCR does.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, you know, if you've listened to plenty of the other episodes, that's one of the things that we always seem to kind of come back on. It's almost like our default topic of sorts. You know, it always kind of reverts back to community and how, how tight-knit we are. Even if we don't even know each other, it's like we've known each other for forever. You know, we could go in and meet somebody, and race alongside of somebody and meet them for the first time, climbing up a hill or something, and then you connect, you click with them, and then before you know it, you've got this, really fantastic bond with each other, and then you're coordinating your meetups at other races, and then, your friendships are growing and expanding, and it's really awesome. I mean, it's crazy how much OCR brings people together, and I never would have thought that getting into it years ago. I was thinking, okay, this is a lot of fun. People are getting out here. They're being crazy. They're playing in mud. And they may be a little psycho because, who wants to play in mud for fun and crawl on rocks and get hurt and risk injury. But, within that sense of accomplishment, there is that community. When you help people out getting over obstacles that, yourself you're going to need help on. And, I've met so many interesting and great people being out on the course. And like I said, it's just, it all comes back to that. And I think that's my favorite aspect of OCR in general, is just the community and the friendship and just how much of a family feel I get from it.
Exactly. I agree with that. I have so many friends just all over the country and even the world now that I never would have met if it wasn't for this sport. And these are people, I maybe met at a race once or twice, and we talk, every day or every week, and it's like we've known each other forever because we have this thing in common that just is so powerful and important to both of us in our lives, and we can connect on that one aspect, and that opens up so many other doors for you, and you can just meet people with all different backgrounds and all different stories. It's amazing to me. I've heard so many stories of, overcoming different things and people that are at different points in their life that are, racing and doing this thing. And I feel like OCR is one of those sports that is good for everyone. There's people from every level can compete in OCR if they want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you kind of mentioned there, one of the other things I really like about it is, the branching out, getting into different dimensions of OCR, whether it's, like the endurance, endurance stuff, or, maybe going out and doing rucking or something like that. It's kind of interesting because I've met other people throughout the OCR community, and they're introducing me to things that I never even would have thought of. It's basically me finding OCR all over again, just in different ways, different aspects of it. And it's kind of cool because it's like this rabbit hole. You get so far in, you can't get out, and you just discover new things here and there the further you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's so many different brands, so many types of races. There's new obstacles you're always discovering, and different, race venues, race lengths. There's so many different variations of OCR. There's sprints, there's hurricane heats. It's just crazy to me. There's so many different races that I haven't even begun to touch the surface of. It's just, like you said, it's a rabbit hole. It feels like it's never ending.
Yeah, exactly. So another question I've been wanting to kind of introduce for a while, and I think I've said it on one of the other episodes, but do you have a particular obstacle, like one that's your favorite, that you know that you're going to have so much fun on it, and you when you see it coming up, you're just like, oh, I'm going to crush this, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I would say I kind of do. it's the rope climb. I love climbing. And really? I don't know what it is about the rope climb.
For me, it's my nemesis because I struggle with upper body strength and grip strength. And those are the two things that I've really started to want to focus on. I've got lower body strength. I mean, leg strength for days. I can push my legs just beyond what I expect all the time. But my arms, not so much. I've never really been that big into working out my upper body or my grip, and it shows. And I guess I can't really say regret. And it's just one of those things that you just don't fall into. And I didn't know that I was going to be so big into OCR that, it was like, okay, I need to start training my upper body. It just wasn't something that I had known that I was going to get so deep into. And I've done decent at a lot of these events. And now that I've done decent and I want to do better, now it's time where I'm like, okay, I've definitely overcome some obstacles and that I've failed a lot in the past. I know during this previous Beast in Seattle, there were quite a few obstacles that I have just failed miserably every single time that I've been on it, or any of them, really. And some of those I actually passed this time. And as a result of, me training my upper body a little bit more and trying to get that extra workout in, during my break at work. And so, that's kind of helped me develop, and improve where I need to improve. But yes, the rope climb is definitely my nemesis. It will probably be that the last obstacle that I tackle with, like the upper body strength. At least that's my goal. I want to be able to do the rope climb. And I know a lot of people say that, especially with like your form, if you, do certain ways of wrapping it around your feet and using your feet to pin the rope and, using your lower body to push yourself up and all that. But for me, like, I always keep myself concentrating on trying to hold on to this rope for dear life while I'm trying to position my feet enough to get the rope, to be able to push it up. And it's like, I just cannot focus hard enough to grip this rope. But it is fun. I enjoy trying it. But I know that that's one of those ones that I just really have to train on. And I think a lot of that too is the muscle memory portion. Once I get like the muscle memory portion of working on my feet and coordinating that with my hands, then I'm sure it will be a little bit easier.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it's really weird to, not everyone, but a lot of people, but I always do legless rope climb, even when I'm racing. It's, for me, it's just the fastest way for me to get up the rope. Whenever I try to do the hooks with my feet and all that, I get messed up. It takes time away from my climb. I just jump really high. I jump halfway up the rope, and I just do legless rope climbs, and then I just slide all the way down and sprint off. It's always been, like, my go-to, but a lot of people, they'll tell me, no, you need to learn how to, do the hooks with your feet properly and stuff like that. And I can understand why, that's beneficial and stuff, and it'll save upper body strength. But for me, doing legless rope climbs has always been the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, if it gets you to the top of the rope, it gets you to the top of the rope.
Yeah, exactly.
So on the other side of that, is there an obstacle that you absolutely despise?
Despise. There was. I wouldn't say that I despise it anymore. the spear throw. So before I got my own spears, I didn't really have a way to practice. And so every time I would do a race, I would just kind of, wing it. I would get up to the spear throw and, I would give it my best shot. And, I would say the majority of time I would miss it. But now that I have, my own spears and I can practice, every other day or so at my gym, I am, not really, I wouldn't say that it's my nemesis anymore. It's something I look forward to as a challenge now.
Yeah. Well, you know, practice, they say practice makes perfect, but I usually tend to say practice makes perfect. I mean, because we're never going to be perfect at anything, especially a spear throw. That too is one that I need to practice. I know we've practiced it plenty of times before over at Pretty Mike's, and I don't know if they're like, if they're built differently, like if they're made out of a different type of broomstick handle or what, or like a shovel handle, but it's just kind of weird. Like you get a feel for a certain type of spear and then you go to the event and like there's something like a little off with it and it just kind of gets into your head, you know? The spear for me has definitely, it's definitely been one of those ones where I'm one for three in my Spartan career. I've only actually done three Spartan races, and so I did my trifecta this year. That was like that was a huge goal for me. So it's like, screw it, I'm going to do a trifecta this year. So during the super, I completely and totally I flopped it. It was just way off target and nothing. The sprint nailed it. I mean, it was just awesome. It was like I'd been doing it for years. And
that's such a good feeling.
Yeah, and I was like, you don't have to do burpees, yay. So then during the beast, I get up there and I'm like, okay, I've practiced this quite a bit. I'm going to get up here. I'm going to get set. I'm going to find the balance point. I'm going to find my motion. You know, I get up there and I'm like, okay, do a couple of just, you know, not really practice, you know, but just kind of like aiming and gauging my throw. And I throw it, and way off to the left. And I'm like, really? Seriously? I thought I had them. So off to do the burpees I go.
Yeah, I can't stand that. You know, when you get up there and you feel super confident and good about it, and then it's just way off. And then it's like you just, you know, you walk over to the burpees like, really? But yeah, I've definitely been there a few times.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
And we're back.
So, aside from Spartan, I'm sure you've probably done, you know, like Tough Mudders and stuff like that.
I've actually never done a Tough Mudder. I keep getting invited. I need to do one at some point.
Oh, they are so much fun. As much fun as I've had on a Spartan. I just did the Tough Mudder with Don and Mike about a week and a half ago. And honestly, I was dreading the whole thing because I knew, you know, we were going to do the 5K, but I just knew that we were going to get electrocuted, and that was Don's plan. Don was—he's very sadistic. You know, I gotta love him. He's my brother-in-law, so I can't really get rid of him. But he's very sadistic when it comes to things like that. He wants to see people get—I wouldn't say hurt, but he loves to make people uncomfortable sometimes, especially when it comes to, you know, getting people outside of their comfort zone. And so we did this Tough Mudder. And I just was like, no, I don't want to do the electrical stuff. I do not like electricity at all. And I mean, sure, I love the benefits of having electricity, but I just don't like getting shocked. And so we get into the first obstacle with the shocking stuff, and we have to crawl. We're doing like this little crawl down an aisle, and they've got a volunteer there with like a stick, and she's pushing the wires into you. You're like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to avoid these wires.
Oh,
pushing them onto me. And you know, meanwhile, Don is loving it. He's behind Mike. So the lineup through this aisle is Mike first. He's dreading the whole thing, and the volunteer is just slapping him with this wire, electrocuting the crap out of him. And Don is loving it. He's like not really standing, but he's like up on his knees in the middle of the aisle, and he's like dancing around, and he's like grabbing Mike's leg and pushing it over into the wires. And I'm behind Don, And so I'm like, okay, fine. They're going through it. I'm going to go through it. I'm not going to chicken out. Like, there's all these people here watching. Like, so I get, you know, I get down, crawl underneath the little barrier thing that they had set up, or the bar. And I get through there, and like the first shock hit me, and I was like, oh, really? That's not so bad. And, it really wasn't. Like, I don't know why I was dreading this. It's just, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. My problem with the whole obstacle was the rocks. I absolutely hate rocks on my knees and stuff like that. And I don't know why I've never thought to bring like volleyball caps to crawl through the obstacles with, but I guarantee you I'm bringing those next time. And really, the shock was not so bad. The problem was that starting out, there wasn't much contact with the wires. It kind of narrowed just a little as you went down the aisle. And by the end of it, you know, there was all kinds of contacts, you know, touching my body. And then obviously, of course, the volunteer with the stick that's pushing the wire. And I got this just tremendous shock that like jolted my whole body. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Like, I got to get out of this thing. So I crawled the rest of the way. So that's just got out of it. Some of the obstacles were really cool. My favorite, I would say this, you know, to answer my own question from earlier, my favorite obstacle of all time out of anything, is they had this thing. It was called, the Block Ness Monster. And, you know, bear with me. I'm horrible at descriptions. I'm going to try to describe it. So it's shoulder deep water. Now, I'm 6'1" on other scales. But 6 foot, and the water is basically up to my neck. So anybody shorter than 5'10" is going to be like, oh, gosh, I have to wade in this water and, like, hope I don't sink to the bottom. And there's, like, a giant, like, long block that's halfway submerged in the water. And what it is like you have to rotate it. And as it rotates, you know, somebody will jump up and grab the edge, and basically like the rotation of it will help kind of pull you up and over the actual obstacle itself. And once you're actually on the, you know, the peak of the obstacle, you transition your feet to where you're landing on the other side, well, at least in the water on your feet. And then once you land, you turn around and you jump up and you grab the edge or the, you know, you grab the edge of it and you pull. That way it starts hoisting people up over from the side that you just came up from. And they have two of those in a row. And I was like, oh, this is going to suck. This is going to be the most horrible obstacle. I'm never going to get over this thing. By far, the best obstacle I've ever done in my life. It was the coolest thing. Like, I didn't care that the water was super cold. I didn't care that it was super awkward getting over the top of this block. But it was awesome. Like, you would hoist yourself up and, like, transition to the side and then spin around, grab the edge and pull, and other people would come up. And as other people are coming up, it was kind of fun because you had people that were, you know, they didn't know where you were at. So as they're coming up on the top of the block, they're blind to where you are until they actually get to the top of, you know, the obstacle itself. So then they have to kind of adjust, or you have to kind of adjust in order to not, you know, collide with each other. So then it becomes almost this game of, well, I still have to help everybody, but at the same time, I have to dodge all these people that are like sliding down this obstacle towards me. And there were plenty of times where I almost caught it in the face with a couple of feet. I know one of the girls was in our group during that Tough Mudder. I believe it's Nick Thompson's niece. She absolutely hates that obstacle because I believe she got kicked in the face. And I don't mean to laugh.
Oh my God.
I've had that happen. Yeah, I've had that happen, and I know it sucks. I mean, I had such a blast on it, and I really wish that, you know, she had a different experience on it. Yeah, she came out from that obstacle going, nope, I do not want to ever do that obstacle again. I hate it. But then again, she was also like 5'7", 5'8". So the water was really high for her. And so it's just, it was a lot of fun. You know, honestly, I would totally encourage getting on a Tough Mudder. I mean, I know that I know a lot of people, like Mike, I know he said, I don't know, maybe like 75 times during his last episode that he's always has been a Spartan guy. And then, you know, but he's maybe kind of really getting into Tough Mudders now. He never wanted to do a Tough Mudder because of the electricity. And then, you know, but he did Spartan a lot and has done tons of them. And now he's like, man, nothing beats, you know, getting out there and pushing yourself during a Spartan and trying to be the best you that you can be. But in the Tough Mudder portion, it's like, it's not about the competition. It's just about getting out and having fun as a team, as a group, you know, hooking up with strangers and going through the course with them. And so he actually had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. I know Don had fun, especially because myself and Mike got zapped a lot. But yeah, I would definitely encourage, it's so much fun. It really is.
Yeah. I definitely have to try one. It's on my list. I want to try a few different races. I haven't branched out too much from Spartan just yet, but I actually have a Rugged Maniac coming up next month that I'm excited to do.
Yeah. Those are, I actually really like those. I think they're a lot of fun. You know, that, like I said, that was kind of my, I don't remember if it was that or Warrior, but one of those was my introduction to OCR, and I loved it, even from the beginning. It was just, you know, they obviously they're obviously different from Spartan in a few ways, quite a few ways, but they're still a lot of fun. I mean, they really do, there are certain aspects of it that really challenge you. You know, we did one, I think it was last year, like early last year, maybe, the hills were, I wouldn't say the hills. It was just the hill at the very beginning. It was like a mile or like a mile and a quarter, just straight up. I wouldn't say straight up, but it felt like it. I mean, it was just, you're like, God, is this hill ever going to end? And am I going to get to the top or what? And you kind of had to like, just, you know, bear through it and put your head down and just keep going and keep going until you got to the top. And by the time you got to the top, you were already past your first mile, and you're like, oh, I don't know if I could do any more of this race. You know, and the very first obstacle, right when you get to the top of that, you have to use your legs. You have to run and you have to jump. And, you know, it's basically like the A-frame where you have to run and jump and, like, throw your legs up to kind of get that foothold. There's, like, a foothold that's, like, 5 feet up or so, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, it was fun, but it was horrible just because the hill at the very beginning. I mean, I'm sure it pales in comparison to Tahoe, but.
Oh, gosh. yeah, Tahoe, wow. I'm still recovering from Tahoe. Tahoe was definitely the most challenging race that I have been through so far in my OCR career, by far. Tahoe, I don't know if you know how I did in Tahoe, but I personally did not finish the race in Tahoe. I got pulled at mile 4 for hypothermia. So the 4 miles that I did do were painful. And I know a lot of my friends that are actually still recovering, dealing with the aftermath of the weather. I think the weather was just a huge factor, what made that race so challenging, you know, because it wasn't like there was a, you know, a bunch of obstacles, you know, people had never done before. It wasn't, you know, super long course. It was a beast distance. It was literally the weather. The weather is what gave people so many issues that particular race.
Oh yeah. I was talking with Melissa Joyle, and she was telling me that the swim was just mind-numbingly cold. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't imagine, you know, going through and swimming in like ice cold water, and just after that, you know, you get out and then all of a sudden, hey, guess what? You know, 8-foot wall. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you lose all your feeling in your limbs and you can't move your hands and, ugh.
Oh yeah, it was brutal. I actually have a friend who, he suffered pretty bad from hypothermia out there after the swim. I believe that's where he was pulled. And, you know, he was delusional, and he was basically having trouble walking and lost feeling in his hands and stuff like that. And he went to the hospital, and he's home now with his mom, but he still doesn't really have use of his legs. He tries to walk, and he's got tremors and shaking, and he's been in the hospital, you know, getting blood work and tests done, and they can't figure out what's wrong with him because he still doesn't really have full use of his legs.
Wow, that is insane.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if I've ever. I'm you know, Dawn, I know you're going to listen to this episode. I'm glad we didn't go to Tahoe. Do you hear me? I'm glad. we were set to go to Tahoe for media day on Thursday, the Thursday prior to the event, and I had some scheduling conflicts with work, and I was going to use some vacation days to do it. The problem was is I couldn't get vacation approved early enough in the week to actually make it down for media day, and so Don was like, we could still go down there, we can still do the race. And I'm like, yeah, that's a possibility, but, it's also a possibility. I could just save those vacation days, and it wouldn't be such a hassle with work, and I could get a little bit more time with my family. And so I'm really glad we didn't go, because I do not do well with cold. I know everybody's story before. The super in Seattle really sucked for me. Like you said, mile four, that was where I struggled, was mile four in the super. Hands and, like, elbows down to my hands and knees down to my toes. I couldn't feel anything. I was pacing back and forth, shivering, and I just said, screw it, I'm going to keep going. There's a part of me that quit today, but there's a bigger part of me that kept going. And I'm glad I did, but I know based on that, had I gone to Tahoe and actually had to do a swim and get out of that, if there's been a lot of people that have been getting pulled dry, I guarantee you, I would have just pulled myself rather than like, I'm done with this. And, it was kind of an unexpected thing. I mean, everybody got there and the weather had been nice the week prior. And then out of nowhere, it's like, oh, hey, guess what? Snow.
Yeah, even like a couple of days prior to the race, there were people out there, walking around in shorts, and it was sunny. But it's like overnight, this freak snowstorm hit. They did the best they could with what they had and the time they had. But at the same time, it was, it was just challenging, especially, having to do water obstacles. I myself didn't make it to the water obstacles, but from talking to people who did, just the drop in like the ape hanger and the swim and stuff like that were just brutal. And, I can't even, I can only imagine what they went through, pushing themselves to that point and then, having to stop because, that swim or, the water at the ape hanger took them out because it was just so cold and unbearable and their body couldn't, they couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. And, it's national championships. It's definitely going to be harder than most of the other ones. I mean, like I said, it's national championships. I couldn't imagine, like you said, some of the distances that, you fall from some of these obstacles or whatever, and then reintroduce yourself into that freezing cold water. You're already suffering enough from cold, and then you just dunk yourself right back in it.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's people, like I said, like my friend Noah, who is still suffering the aftermath of that. He's probably the worst case scenario that I've heard so far, but plenty of people, lost feeling temporarily in their legs, their arms, whatever, but they got it back. It went away, but I don't know what's going on with him, and I can only hope for the best.
We all can, and it's crazy that how the cold and how the environment affects people in different ways. And honestly, we all hope the best. We hope that, you know, we're wishing and hoping for a speedy recovery and that everything goes well. You know, because you want to see people recover from it and be able to actually overcome. And, you know, and it's like, especially if it's so close to you, you want to see them overcome it. And everybody here, you know, on Beast OCR, everybody in BeastNet, you know, I'm sure I can definitely speak for every one of them and hoping that he recovers, you know, fully and he recovers very well. Because that's definitely something you don't want to, you know, you definitely don't want to get any complications from it. We're all hoping that he recovers very, very well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm sure, you know, him and his mom and his family will all appreciate hearing that. There's a lot of people out there, you know, putting out prayers and positivity and good vibes, and it's, you know, all over social media right now. So I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that you guys are supporting.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Do you like challenges that are fun, tough, and might use tacos? Head on over to beastchallenge.com and check out our upcoming events, including Beasts 5K Plus, a combination of race and endurance event, and the Bucket Mile. Keep an eye on the Beasts OCR Facebook group for event gatherings. For more information, head on over to beastchallenge.com and the Beasts OCR Facebook group. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back.
In the next year, hopefully, we'll be able to get ourselves down to Tahoe, you know, in a timely manner. And that way, you know, I'm sure you'll be down there again to redeem yourself. Redemption.
Oh, of course. Okay. I will definitely be back. This is not my last year at Tahoe.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to be able to put a face to the name, and, you know, meet each other in person and whatnot. And, you know, and meet Pretty Mike. I mean, if you haven't met him already, I wouldn't say he's that pretty, but that's just his
Absolutely. Yeah. That'll be great.
Yeah. Awesome. Any shout outs or, any promotions that you want to put out there?
Let's see. Human Octane is big for me right now. They are absolutely my go-to apparel company. I wear them pretty much in every race. They are the best OCR apparel I've ever worn. And BJ Shoes, of course. BJ Shoes have saved my feet. I can't imagine running in any other shoe. They are just my go-to. So Human Octane, BJ Shoes, they've got me covered as far as wardrobe, for sure.
Awesome. I was looking at one of your pictures on your Facebook page, and I actually really did like the logo for Human Octane, that the red H. That was actually pretty cool. I was like, man, I want one of those.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. They make the best clothing. Everything I wear in my race is Human Octane. I feel like it just saved me. Other brands I've worn, you know, they'll rip, they'll tear, I'll, you know, be banged up and bruised. But whenever, you know, I wear Human Octane apparel, it's like I come away like almost scratch free. It's amazing. And their clothes hold up through the tough obstacles. You get caught on, you know, the barbed wire, it's not going to, you know, rip the seat of your pants off.
Yeah. Yeah, see, and that's like I had a pair of tights, I guess. And these ones were like my favorite. And I was like, man, I really enjoy wearing these during running. You know, they're very, I don't know, like they're very light. They dry very quickly and, you know, they keep me warm. So I'm like, I really love these. Tough Mudder, like it wasn't even the barbed wire. I don't even know what it was. But I think it was something really simple. We had to crawl, under like a net at one point. And I think it was just like a small rock that snagged it and ripped a huge hole in it. I was like, no, not my time.
That's the worst.
I'll have to check it out. and you know, and get myself some of those pants, the tights.
Absolutely, yes. You will not regret it.
Awesome. So, like, so other, I know you mentioned obviously VJ shoes. Dawn and I had actually kind of talked about VJ shoes a little bit at the Tough Mudder. Now, have you used other shoes prior to discovering VJ shoes, or have you just used VJ the entire time?
No, I started off running in Innovate, and then you're using Innovate?
Yeah, I'm using the, I think it's Innovate Mud Claw 2.
No, they're good shoes. There's nothing against Innovate. I would say in comparison to VJ, they're probably the closest. They feel similar, but they're not. VJs to me are much lighter. They feel like you're not wearing a shoe. It's not like barefoot running, but like it's so comfortable you don't notice they're there. It's almost weird. But no, I was in Innovates forever. I loved the way Innovates felt. But then, you know, I wanted to branch out. I had heard, you know, good things about other brands like Saucony, Salomon. So, you know, I tried a few different brands before, you know, I tried BJ shoes. I, you know, heard all the pros were using them. I kept seeing all these ads, and I was like, all right, you know, I want to see what these shoes are all about. You know, I want to test them out for myself and see what all the hype's about and, you know, see if it was just talk. And so I got a pair of the VJ Maxes, and oh my goodness, they are just phenomenal. I wouldn't go back to any other shoe after running in them. I feel like I can, you know, run trails. I feel comfortable using them on the treadmill, even though I know that's not what they're for. But they're a shoe I can wear all the time, and they're just amazing. It's, like I said, it feels like you're not wearing anything.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to try those out in my next shoe. I've got quite a few races on my Innovates, and I like them. They're very easy to clean. You know, that's probably my favorite part about them, is they're so easy to clean. And for me, I think what I struggle with my shoes, and ultimately that's the reason I asked you, is because I'm planning for the future and I'm trying to get you know, suggestions for other gear in the future. but I think my biggest problem with mine is just that I have really big feet. I think I have really big feet. I mean, really, it's only a size 13, but, you know, I can't really say that I have huge feet. I know Benton wears like a size 16. Benton is my son. And yeah, I mean, Benton's like, I think he's like 18 or something. If he's even 18, I don't know. Phenomenal kid. He's a really cool kid. But he's got like size 16 shoes. And I'm like, man, this kid's like a teenage Shaq. It's crazy.
Wow.
So I can only imagine how hard it is for him to have to find shoes. It's hard enough for me to find shoes. I think mine kind of fit a little too snug, and it's not that I'm tying them that tight. It's just that when I tie them, I still don't have very much lace left to be able to tie them, and they're still really snug. But yeah, that's kind of why I was asking. I'm in the middle of like planning for my future race calendar and stuff like that. And, so I've really been kind of looking at, you know, posted the other day asking about suggestions for ankle wraps and braces and stuff. Cause I feel like I need a little bit more support in my ankles. Not that I have weak ankles. I probably do, but, I feel like I mentally, you know, my peace of mind is there if I have, you know, ankle braces or at least some sort of wrap just to give myself some support. So that's,
it's funny you mentioned that you have large feet, because I'm the same way, but my feet are super wide. I've always had to buy men's running shoes. Women have always been way too snug on me. And so I was a little hesitant when I started, you know, using VJ shoes. I was I got these shoes. I heard that, you know, they're certain models run narrow because they're European, and I was like, okay, I'll give them a shot. And so I got the VJ Maxes, which are supposed to cater to people with, you know, larger feet, wide feet. And so at first when I put them on, they were a little snug, probably for the first, you know, couple runs. But after that, they loosened up, and it's like, wow. Like, I did not know that they could make a shoe so comfortable for someone with such a fat foot like mine. Like, my foot is huge, at least in my opinion. But I love that about VJ shoes.
Platypus or like a beaver tail or something. It's just wide.
Yeah, seriously. That's how I feel. Like, it's always been hard for me to find running shoes. Like, I would have to, you know, size up and, you know, get men's shoes. And I'm like, oh, these aren't cute. You know, they do the job, but I love VJ shoes for that reason. You know, they look good. They feel good. You know, my foot, after, you know, running a beast race, does it hate me? It's great.
Well, that's like Don. He tried out these new shoes. I don't even know what brand they are, and I know he'll text me after he listens to this. But he tried out some new shoes during the Tough Mudder, and they were like the toe shoes, and they had grip and stuff for trail running and stuff. And I thought they were kind of interesting. I don't know if I could really like bring myself to wear toe shoes. Not that I think they're weird. They're kind of cool. Like when I first saw toe shoes or even just toe socks, I was like, that's kind of strange. But I don't know. I mean, yeah. I guess it could be okay. But he tried out these toe shoes, and he was like, you know, honestly, they feel really great. You know, he kind of had to, you know, get used to them and kind of adjust them, you know, as we went. But after a while, he was like, you know, I kind of really like them. And the only thing I could really think of was like, you know, I would feel like a reptile if I was running into them. I would just feel like some sort of bipedal lizard, you know, just running through the trails in the woods and stuff. Like, look at me. So, I don't know if they had any cleats on them or not. I really didn't get that close to his reptile feet, but.
I've never tried them. I've seen people wear them. I've heard of them, but I don't know. They don't seem like my style. I feel like I would. I don't want things between my toes. It seems weird.
Yeah. And like, you know, to each their own. I mean, sorry, Don. I mean, you know, not everybody likes reptile toe shoes. I thought they were kind of cool. I mean, if given the opportunity, I would probably try them out. But I mean, I don't know, like you said, I don't know how I would feel about just feeling things in between my toes and whatnot. I mean, it'd probably just be something I'd have to try and get used to.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I really really had a great time doing this interview today. I had such a long day at work and nothing, you know, nothing really against you at all. I really was not coming into this interview. I was just like, oh man, I just want to get this interview out of the way. I'm so tired. And but now it's honestly like since we started talking, it's actually been kind of a breath of fresh air. It's been actually very invigorating for me. It's given me some energy actually. It's always fun to get on here and find somebody that you can connect with and talk and actually have conversation with, and you know, and I wouldn't say that I've really had any people that I've interviewed just yet where it's hard to get any content out of them. I know it's going to happen one day. I know I'm just going to be like, you know, so tell me about your first race, and they're going to be like, yeah, it was fun.
Oh no, that's the worst.
And then I'm going to have to like fish for content. Like, so what did you do? What was the first obstacle? Was there mud? Was there mud? And Mike loves to answer that one. I didn't know there was going to be mud here. Nobody said anything about mud.
Oh, wow.
Mike's a funny guy. I don't know if you've ever talked to Mike or seen Mike, but he's a funny guy. He does a lot of fun stuff. He's a comedian, like legit comedian. I wouldn't say he's like famous, and he's probably famous around or infamous around this area. But he's actually, he does quite a bit of stand-up. He does quite a bit of stand-up and stuff, but he's just a funny guy. I absolutely love going on runs with this guy. I like going on runs with you too, Don. Don't think that I don't like going on runs with you, because you're a fun guy too. But I know that there's a lot of times where Mike just, he'll pop off with the weirdest things, and you love it. And so, but yeah. It kind of goes, you know, I'm kind of reverting back to that, that whole community thing. I absolutely love the community, and I love, talking with people about this because it gets me amped up. It really gives me energy to connect with somebody and talk. And I'm really glad that I got in here and actually did this interview today because it gave me the energy to kind of power through today. Because I just was, like I said, I was not feeling it coming to the interview and was like, I'm a zombie. And now I honestly feel like pretty much fully refreshed. It's awesome. I love being able to connect with people and get to hear their story and share experiences and stuff like that. So I really, really, really want to thank you for that. It's been awesome.
Oh, yay. I'm so happy to hear that. I had so much fun talking.
Yes, of course. Well, everybody out there in BeastNet land, you know, if you're still listening, which I'm sure many of you are, it has been a fun experience with Ashley today. I encourage you guys to get out there and do more Beasts. Get out there and do more sprints, more supers, all the Spartans. Do all the Spartans. But do the tough runners too. Get out there and get electrocuted. Enjoy
oh my
that.
God.
Yeah. If you haven't, yeah. If you haven't done, get shocked. Get all the shocks. Yes. Once again, Ashley, thank you so much for being a part of this BeastNet episode tonight. We look forward to talking to you in the future, and I absolutely look forward to maybe seeing you in future races besides Tahoe, and if nothing before that, then maybe we'll meet at Tahoe. And, you know, and once again, pass on, you know, all of our blessings and all of our hopes and wishes to your friend. And once again, we're really hoping for a prompt recovery, and we want to be able to see you back out there and on your feet and racing again.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate all your kind words, and I know that Noah and his mom are going to be unbelievably grateful for that. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.